Well, I've got a whole load of questions today from devotees, but I'm not going to answer them. Just because today's, we're having, at least devotees here are having, more specifically, Indradyumna Maharaj's disciples are celebrating his Vyas Puja. I'm going to go down there after I finish doing my puja. And not puja of myself, but puja of the deities, and speak a little Indradyumna Maharaj, because our business as Vaishnavas is to glorify devotees, Vaishnava Dharma. I think in Chaitanya Bhagavat it's called Esarva Dharma, Vaishnava Dharma, or essence of everything that we know is Vaishnava Shastra, Vaishnava Dharma. Vaishnava Dharma means the Dharma of, or living like a Vaishnava, but another way that it can be taken is that Vaishnavas are our Dharma. In other words, the respect of devotees, the worship of devotees, the glorification of Vaishnavas, service to Vaishnavas, Nityam Bhagavata Seva, that all constitutes Vaishnava Dharma. And you know what? It's something that's in little short supply in our society. Understandably, that because devotees, most notably senior devotees, have sometimes given up the path of devotional service, or given up their ashram, or given up their service as gurus, and that shakes devotees' faith. But even though we may become a little cautious about in whom we invest our faith and become a little more scientific and observant about accepting spiritual masters, or just accepting someone as being spiritually advanced on hearsay, we should not abandon the principle of Vaishnava Dharma. We should not abandon the principle that we cannot replace it, especially in the wake of many devotees, or some devotees, leaving their posts as sannyasis, spiritual masters, GBCs, temple presidents. Devotees have gone to one extreme by just making Vaishnava Dharma, meaning having only faith in Srila Prabhupada. They're called ritviks. And Prabhupada is the only person you can depend on or trust. The other is to just replace faith in Vaishnavas by obedience to the institution. And none of these work. Both of them are necessary. Faith in the institution, obedience to the institution is necessary, and Srila Prabhupada is our life and soul. But having a life and soul doesn't constitute the entirety of your existence. In other words, usually a life and soul is part of a body. You have a life and soul within a body. So the body is the institute, and Srila Prabhupada is the life and soul of that institution. However, a body is made up of limbs and is only healthy when all of the limbs and parts are also healthy. And therefore respect is also shown to the hand, to the feet, to the head, and so on. So we should not give up this idea that we're meant to learn how to show respect to each other as devotees, prabhus, matajis, brahmins, sannyasis, presidents, GBCs, older, younger, more senior, junior by service. All of these different types of seniority or statuses should be taken into account, and we should show respect to them. And respect is shown by the offering of obeisances, by the use of proper language, and on certain times by worship. That's right, we worship Vaishnavas. We don't only worship Srila Prabhupada and all the Guru Parampara. After that, we worship living Vaishnavas. That is perfection and happiness for us. And when we live in a society where Vaishnavas command respect, and that respect is shown, then it becomes a very, very wonderful place. This is probably the theme song of His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj. He places so much emphasis on nice Vaishnava relationships. And of course, it isn't that juniors are meant to respect and worship seniors, but seniors also worship and give respect to juniors. Srila Prabhupada pointed out how he viewed his disciples as his spiritual masters, as individuals to whom he rendered service by taking the responsibility of spiritual master. It's a dadati pratigrinati. It's a reciprocal affair, and it's pretty, and it happens with love. That's Vaishnava Dharma. And we don't just show respect to sannyasis or brahmacharis, but we show our respect and love to children, to ladies, to the elderly, to the uneducated, to the pot washers, and having that type of institution, that is what the institution is. The other institution, which is devoid of these type of relationships, isn't ISKCON. It's some abhas or some shadow reflection of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Just as the Srila Prabhupada that some people refer to, who is the only person who initiates, the only person who you can trust, is not the real Srila Prabhupada. It's just a reflection of the real Srila Prabhupada. At least the Srila Prabhupada that I know is not a impotent person who cannot empower or purify the heart of someone to make them also worthy of being followed, worthy of empowering others, worthy of initiating others. Anyway, so much for this lengthy introduction, because I was going to speak about Indrajun Maharaj, who is really one of the most outstanding Vaishnavas in our Krishna Consciousness Society, dare I say, even in the world. I don't know of many people, in fact, I don't know of anyone who does Harinam as much as he does, who does as many, as big, as successful festivals as he does. Festivals that Srila Prabhupada loved, and there's no doubt about it that Srila Prabhupada loves the preaching that Indrajumna Maharaj does. Who else? I'm not talking about in ISKCON, although I'm not well versed with what's going on outside ISKCON, but I don't know of anyone who does that type of preaching that he does. And it is obviously a sign of empowerment. He's an empowered personality. Aside from that, he's a really wonderful Vaishnava, a very kind person, loving person. He's very strict in his ways and practices of Krishna consciousness. He has great attachment for Vrindavan and does Braj Mandal Parikrama now on an annual basis. He loves chanting Hare Krishna, and when he chants Hare Krishna, other people also chant Hare Krishna and they dance, whether they be people who've never danced or chanted, or people who've been dancing and chanting for many years. And that's the sign of a real Vaishnava. And it's wonderful that we're privileged to be in a society where there can be devotees like Indrajumna Maharaj. That's the real wealth of our Krishna consciousness movement. Our ISKCON is not in the different aspects of its very important legacy, or rather I should say that the most important aspect of ISKCON's legacy is the devotees that it produces. What are books, temples, deities, Srila Prabhupada's instructions for? Now, there are all four making devotees, that ultimately we can show that here's a pure devotee, here's someone who's sacrificed his whole life for spreading the Krishna consciousness movement. And there are many. Indian Maharaj is someone who is very much in the forefront, but certainly there are many who are not as famous, who are not as well known, who do not perform that type of worldwide preaching. But that is what ISKCON is. ISKCON is these devotees. And they are the fruit of the Krishna consciousness movement, and they are actually the things that give Srila Prabhupada the greatest pleasure. True Vaishnavas, that what Srila Prabhupada sacrificed for, that what Srila Prabhupada came to the West for, what he lived for and wrote for and preached for, are real Vaishnavas. And Indrajit Maharaj was one such Vaishnava. And no doubt, although he, like I, didn't have extensive association with his divine grace, but he's a person who understood Srila Prabhupada's instructions, took them to heart, and no doubt Srila Prabhupada is proud to have a spiritual son like Indrajula Maharaj. Let's all try to follow in his footsteps and also make Srila Prabhupada proud of us as grandsons, granddaughters, great-great-grandsons, great-great-granddaughters. So today it's a source of inspiration for me. I'm going to think about, meditate on Indrajit Maharaj's qualities and service. I'll leave it up to you to do as you like. Hare Krishna.